We begin the current daf, Masechtas Kedushin, daf Nun Gimel. Begin on the bottom line of daf Nun Beis Mid Beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion with previous daf. And that is, Rabbi Yochanan had quoted a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yasi, which was the same halacha mentioned in our Mishnah, regarding if a man is mekadesh a woman with parts of karbanis that he gets, whether kachim kachim or kachim kalim. He takes those, that part of the animal, which definitely there's pleasure over there, there's some benefit over there, and he uses that to be mekadesh a isha. So Rabbi Yehuda said that it will create a kedushin, and Rabbi Yehuda said it will not. And Rabbi Yochanan said, actually, their machlekes is, they're both learning it out from the same pasuk, where the pasuk says, regarding the pieces of karbanis that the kahanim get, says, v'zeh yi l'cha mekadesh ha-kadoshim min ha-esh, that this should be for you, the sons of Aaron, from the fire. So Rabbi Yehuda learns from the word l'cha, means l'chol tzarchecha, for all your needs, which includes getting married, so you can mekadesh ha-esh with the piece of the carbon. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda learns, no, as we see, it's comparing it to min ha-esh, which just like the esh, the fire on the mizbeach, is only for consumption, which is only for eating, not for anything else. So too, the kayin can only utilize the hana that he's getting from the carbon for eating, and not for being mekadesh and isha. That was their machlekes, which again, our Mishnah definitely took a stance on that, and also agreed to Rabbi Yechanan that ein mekudeshes, you cannot create a kedushin. Now that on Rabbi Yechanan says, as you continue top of them, gimel man aleph, nimnu v'gamru, they made a count, and that there was more of those who held in halacha when they were taking a vote that the halacha is einu mekudeshes, she will not be engaged. And therefore the minority, they were sublimated in that counting. So therefore they retracted, and then, so that's nimnu, they counted begamru, and then they all concluded the halacha is going to be that einu mekudeshes. And that is hamekadesh b'chelka, which this is the halacha of our Mishnah, which is like Rabbi Yisi, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that if someone is mekadesh a woman with his part being kachay kachim or being kachay kalim, whether it's from, let's say, chattis and ashim, those which are the highest level of sanctity of karbanis, or those on the lower, like kiddush, that does not create a kedushin. So although that originally there was a machlekes, says Rabbi Yechanan that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that it is going to be kedushin, ultimately they retracted and they ended up agreeing to Rabbi Yasi. Whereas Rav actually disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan, and he says, no, adayin himachlekes, it's still a machlekes. In other words, it's not true. They didn't vote and make a count, and Rabbi Yehuda did not retract, and Rabbi Yehuda still disputes, and he still says that it will be a condition. Now, Abaya says, kabasid Rabbi Yechanan mistaber. It's actually logical to say, like Rabbi Yechanan, that Rabbi Yehuda retracted, and that he agrees lahalacha that it's not going to create a condition. How do I know this? The time, like in the Braisa. As we'll see from this Braisa, that's clearly Rabbi Yehuda, and it's saying that it will not create a kedushin from, in other words, that a person's portion in the karbanis, meaning a kohen, when they get something from the karbanis, is not considered his own mammon to create a kedushin. And therefore, we'll see that Rabbi Yehuda obviously retracted. The Tanya, like in this braisa, says, minayin she'en cholkim menachis keneged zevachim. From where do we know that you cannot start using a bartering system for certain things in the Beis HaMikdash? So it's, braisa starts off that if one person has a flower offering that he has a share over there, and that his friend that's a kohen has a portion in a carbon, that you cannot start saying, okay, that's worth $10 worth of flower offering. I got $10 worth of this animal. You take the mincha, and I'll take the chaz of a shaykh, or the meat of the animal of a karban chatas and asham, which the kohanim eat. We'll switch it. You take the mincha that of that portion that I have, and I'll take the meat from you. You like flour, you like carbs, and I like protein. Let's make a switch. Says the Braisa, how do you know you cannot do this? So Tamal Leimer, so that's what teaches the Pasuk in Yikra. And this Pasuk, there's two Pasukim. It's a Perg Zayin, Pasuk Tes and Pasuk Yud, which the Pasukim read there, it's talking about the Karbanis Mincha, the flour offerings. So it says, V'chol Mincha, and every Mincha, Shatei Ofa Batana, which will be baked in the oven. Starts going through all the different types. V'chol Nasa B'Macheshes, whatever is made in this deep type of a pan. Bal Machavas, whatever is on a flat type of a pan. Lakayin hamakar vaysa loisia, for the kohen that's bringing it, that's doing the avoda, for him it should be. Next pasuk continues and says v'chol mincha belulu v'shemen, and any mincha that's mixed with oil v'chareven that's dry l'chol b'nei Aaron tia, for all the sons of Aaron it should be mina v'kanim ish ka'achiv, every man like his brother. That's what it says over there. So says the Braisa, it says v'chol mincha asheti afa betaner. So that's starting off in the beginning of the pasuk tes. And so it says, any mincha that would be baked in the oven. Now, in the next pasuk, and that next pasuk concludes, and we'll see that every terminology being used in these two pasukim will be included in what's the summation in the end of the second pasuk. It says, l'chol b'nei arantiyah, for all the sons of Aaron it should be. Which sounds like that in this flour offering, all the sons of Aaron should split it. In other words, that one cannot say, I'm not taking it, and then give it to his friend that he could then take from something else for him. You see that no, it has to be that everyone takes their portion, and you can't go ahead and start swapping it. Now, continues the Braisa Yachol, so you would think that the Pasuk is only excluding the Lo Yachlekum Menachas Keneged Zevachim. Oh, when can you not do this bartering system? When if one guy wants to swap his portion in the flour offering for his friend's portion in an animal offering. Now, that would be logical, says the Braisa, that you would say that you couldn't do that. Shleikamu Tachteim. Because a flour offering never takes the place of an animal offering. Bedalas. In a situation of, let's say, what's called a carbon oil b'yayrid, there are certain carbonas where if you cannot afford the more expensive animal offering, then you bring a lower lever. But by this oil b'yayrid, which means up and down, meaning it depends how much money you have, a poor person, when he doesn't have enough money for an animal offering, does not bring a flower offering. He chooses to bring a bird offering, an ifis. So the flower offering never takes the place of the animal offering, so you see that they're not exchangeable, so that you cannot barter. But you would think that you could exchange a flour offering for a bird offering. In other words, let's say someone has a chatas oif and the other one has a mincha that maybe they could switch. Because they do take the place. The flour offering takes the place of a bird offering, which is by those karbanas, as we said, of karban oil b'yayrid, the most expensive is an animal. Now, if you can't afford an animal, you get a bird offering. Can't afford a bird offering, then what takes the place of the bird offering is a flour offering, which is by someone that's mitame mikdash, or regarding a certain type of a shvua, by regarding edus. It says in the pasuk vim lo yisasek yodi l'shtei serim, if you cannot afford these two turtle doves, then it says vehevi es karbana ashachata asiris ha'efa. He brings a flower offering. So maybe since we see that there is an exchange between a bird offering and a flower offering, then maybe the Kohen could switch their portions in those two. Time aleima, that's what the pasuk teaches, and again we're moving along all the terminologies in the pasuk. So the first drasha we were saying you cannot swap a zevach or a mincha because it says v'chol mincha asher te'ofa betana. Then it says another terminology. It says v'chol nasa b'marcheshes. Whatever is made in the deep pan, again in the beginning of pasuk tes, again concludes at the end of pasuk yud when it goes through all the different menachas. It says l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyah, which is going on all these menachas, that for all the sons of Aaron it should be. Now as Rashi explains, is because these psukim, in other words, all these terminologies in these two psukim are superfluous. Because the pasuk could have just said, "Kol mincha, heavy flour offering, l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyah, for all the sons of Aaron it should be." Why does it here have to go through all the different types of menachas that we know about and specify them over here to say that all the sons of Aaron get a portion in these menachas? It's not talking about the avoidus of the mincha here, it's saying just that the sons of Aaron get their portion. So say, it says elsewhere the mincha. Say just regarding any mincha, the every son of Aaron gets. The reason why it specifies it again and again, meaning going through every detail, is as a kroy yisera to say that it's not just that they get their portion, is that they all have to get their portion, and you can't start swapping. Now, already said you can't stop swapping by saying extra terminology of, let's say, the beginning of the pasuk. Why does it then go through another type of a mincha, another superfluous delineation of v'chol nasa b'marcheshes? So that's to say, not only can you not swap the mincha with a zevach, because if I only had one meat, let's say, one kroy yisera, I would have said you can't swap a mincha with a zevach, because it never takes the place. But a mincha, let's say, with an oif, with a bird offering, you would think that you could. That's what it says again. Another term, another variable, another different type of a mincha, another kroy yisera, to say that no, not even with an oif can you swap it. The price continues even more. Okay. Yochel lo yichalku menachas keneged oifes. So you would think from the second kroy yisera that you can't swap a mincha flower offering with a bird offering because still they're different. Shalolo mini damim, balolo mini kamachim, because the bird offering is still a blood offering. The kapara that is attained through an animal offering and the bird offering, they're through the blood. That's what you throw on the mizbeach. But regarding the flower offering, it's the offering is only with flour, not with bloods. So they're different. So okay, that's why you can't exchange it. Avichalku eifers keneged zvachim, but you would think that the Kohen could swap their portions in the karbanos that they get, where one has an animal and one says, I like chicken, you like meat, let's switch it, which is not really chicken, but it's regarding whatever the bird offering is, shalol fowl, shalol v'alol min adam, because ultimately they're still types of blood, so they're still the same general category of a carbon. So you think that they could swap. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches, al machavas, that on the shallow pan. And again, if it has nothing to do with mincha, because you already specified that you can't swap a mincha with a zevach and a mincha with an oif, so what's this extra terminology in this pasuk of minach is coming to say? It would come to tell us regarding, like we always say, einin le'inyan, if it has nothing to do with this, tenei le'inyan, then you put it where we could apply it to, which would be that you can't even swap zvachim with oifis. So the Brisa continues. Okay, so yachal, you would think that this extra mute that the pasuk is saying is only lo yachal ku oifis keneged zvachim. It's teaching us that, okay, additionally, you cannot swap the bird offering with the animal offering, and it would be logical. Because shalalu, because the bird offering masim biyad, there the avoda, the actual slaughtering of the animals is done by hand. Meaning the kayan does what's called malika with his thumb. He takes his fingernail and he sticks it into the back, the nape of the bird, and that's how he slaughters it. Whereas valalu, but zvachim, and that's why it's called actually zvachim. It's a zvicha. It's with a shchita. Is masim bekli. The act is done with a knife. So they're different, and therefore you could say, okay, since they're different, they cannot be swapped. But you would think that you could swap one mincha for another mincha. Because both of them are done by hand, even though they're different types of menachas, but they're still the same general category of flour offering. That's what the next Kray Yisera comes to say, meaning the next line, the next different type of definition of terminology that the pasuk says, it then goes on to say, "B'chol mincha belulav b'shemen," and every flour offering that's mixed with oil. Again, the pasuk there concludes at the end, "L'chol b'nei Aaron," it's for all the sons of Aaron, so that you cannot swap even one mincha to another. Now the pasuk continues, "Yochel lo yichalku machvas keneged macheshes." Okay, you would think that you cannot swap when you have the flat pan to the deep pan, or machesh keneged machvas, or the deep pan to the flat pan. Now why? Shazu, because the macheshes masim rakim. When you have the deep pan, the flour is actually very soft. Bizu masim kashim, whereas by the machvas, by the flat pan, the flour it gets hard the way it's baked. Now the reason being is because this machvas and marcheshes are two types of utensils they have in the base of Mikdash. Now, every mincha was mixed together and had a kmitza, a fistful taken from it, that needed a lug of shemen, needed a certain amount of oil. Now the machvas is very flat, and it's not deep. Now, since it's very wide, and everything is on the surface, so the flour mixes throughout the pan, and the fire burns the oil in that flour, and therefore it makes it very hard. The macheshes is a very deep pan, and the fire doesn't burn up all the oil because it actually gets absorbed deep into the challis, and therefore it's very soft, like challah, in contrast to the other one, which is more like matzah type. So, okay, you would say that from what we're learning out from this new miyut, it's saying that when there's different types of menaches, with one is machvas and one's macheshes, okay, that they're very different, so that you can't swap. But you would think that you could exchange one flat pan type of mincha to another flat pan mincha. In other words, where one kind would say, okay, you know that mincha that Reuben's breathing? You could take that whole thing, and I'll take your portion in Shimon's mincha, when they're the same types of mincha. And similarly, your macheshes connected macheshes, because shalolu valolu masim kashim, because both of these machvas are both hard. Inami masim rakim, or by these tubes of macheshes, they're both soft. So they're the same thing. Maybe there you could swap from one person's mincha to another if they're the same type. Tamalema, so the pasuk continues with another terminology, v'chareva, and a dry mincha, which is l'chol b'nei Aaron, again, has to be for all the sons of Aaron. You cannot go ahead and swap it. And that the Brisa continues and says, okay, so yochel lo yichalku, you would think that you cannot divide one carbon opposite the other carbon, meaning swapping, b'kodesh hakodeshim. When it's things like the mincha, which is where we have all these limudim from, which is by the parasha mincha, we just said, okay, once we already exhausted that the miyutim by mincha, then we'll learn it for zvachim and oifes. So maybe, but that would only be like the mincha, which is a kachikachim. Avo yichalku, but you would think maybe you could swap, you could split one carbon opposite another one, but kachim kalim, by those which are lower level kachims, which is maybe there the kohen does really own the rights in that portion of the carbon that he's getting, and therefore he could sell it to his friend that's a kohen, and thus bartering is essentially the swapping, is a sale. And you would think maybe there he could do that because he really owns it when it's kachim kalim. Tamalem, there's a pasuk teaches there at the end, says ish ka'achiv, every man like his brother, which tells you that everyone's equal. There's no one getting more than the other. Now, b'samach lein, it says, the psukim afterwards, it says, im al toida, that if on the carbon toida, which is a type of kachem kala, says the b'raisa, it's coming to tell you from the smichas psukim, from having these drushes, this psukim of mincha, which are telling this concept that you cannot barter, with then right after it starts talking about carbon toida, to say, kishem she'en chalkim, b'kache kachem, just like you can't swap. B'kache kachem, kach en chalkim, b'kache kalam. So too, you cannot swap b'kachem kalam. Now the Braisa just continues, another drasha that we have from that pasuk of Ish Ka'achiv, when it says Ish, is it Ish Chaylik, a man, an adult, that's a Kohen, will be able to get a portion in the Karbanas, afila Balmum, even if he's blemished, meaning even though a Kohen that's a Balmum can't do the Avodas per se, but he still does other work in the Beis HaMikdash. He deworms the wood, he skins it, he cuts the karbanis into pieces, he could even do shechita, which you don't need a kohen, you could have a zar. So therefore, he gets a portion. That's what Ish is teaching us. But it's also teaching us, v'ein ha-katan chaylik v'afal atam, a minor, even if he's not blemished, will not get a portion, because that's what we're learning from Ish ka'achiv, which Ish connotes an adult and not a minor. That's the b'raisa. Now, Abaye concludes his proof. Stam Sifra, generally when we have an anonymous Tana in Teres Kainim, which this drasha, this Bryce is from Teres Kainim, because it's explaining a psukim in Vayikra, which that's the Midrashim on Vayikra, to explain the halacha, is Sifra is Teres Kainim. So when we have a Tana which doesn't say a name, who's Stam Sifra, Mani, who is that? That's Rabbi Yehuda. We know that's Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so it's Rabbi Yehuda. V'hu kama de lesba din chaluka klal, and he's saying it clearly that the Kohanim don't own the rights in their parts of the kabbanis that they get. In other words, since I don't own it, I can't go ahead and start swapping it and start saying, okay, I have $10 worth of this, you have $10 worth of that, which is really what sales are. Let's go ahead and switch it. He says you cannot do that. As we see from all these drushes, you can never swap. Not kachem kachem, not kachem kalem. So says Abaye, shmami no. So obviously we infer that Rabbi Yehuda ended up actually retracting, like Rabbi Yechanan had said, and he holds that kachem kachem, kachem kalem is not the mammon of the kayin. Rather, whatever you get from the leftover of the carbon is mishulchan gavoy kazach. You're getting it from Hashem, but it's just Hashem lets you go ahead and eat it and consume it, but it's not yours to be able to say that it's your money to go ahead and engage a woman. And therefore we see clearly, says Abaya, like Rabbi Yechanan, that Rabbi Yehuda retracted, and he agrees that, like the halacha of our Mishnah, that she's ein mekudeshes, you cannot be mekadesh a woman with your part of the carbon. Now, that's what Abaya said. But Amar Rava says, so you brought a proof for Rabbi Yechanan. But he says, Ukarav mili tanya, don't we have a brisa like Rav that he's correct, that actually Rabbi Yehuda did not retract, and he still holds that you could be mekadesh a woman with the portions you get from a carbon? But Vatanya, we learned the brisa, and this brisa is regarding the lechem upon them. Those are the 12 showbreads which are on the shulchan from every Shabbos, they would eat it. Now, for the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, there was a blessing in the lechem upon them. And every kohen that got just an olive-sized part of it would eat and would be satiated. And some would actually eat and they would even have leftover. They didn't even have to eat so much. Now, after that time, there actually became a curse in the lechem upon them. And any kohen who got a part of the lechem upon them the size of a bean, the Braisa tells us, Hatznuim moishchen es yideim, the modest ones, the righteous ones, they would withdraw their hands from taking any part of the lechem upon them because it doesn't help. What's the point in eating if it's not going to satiate? No point just grabbing, being a glutton. It's not going to help, so they wouldn't even eat. But v'hakar ganim chalkim, the gluttons, they actually would go ahead and split it up. Now, the Gemara's assumption right now, when it says that they would be chaylik, it doesn't mean that chaylik, they would take their own chaylik, which is coming to them, because every kohen has a chaylik coming to him. So we said that Tznum wouldn't take theirs. But it's what the Gemara is inferring, what Rav is trying to say is, it doesn't mean that those gargalim would take their own portion. And the reason being is because, since there's a curse in it, what does it help taking your own portion of the bean size? And that's why the Tznum wouldn't eat it. What's the point? It doesn't really help you. So, and that's what Rav is assuming. When it says that the gargalim would be chaylik, it means to say they would start assessing and evaluating, meaning, as we were using the terminology till now, they would start being chaylik with their chaverim. In other words, they would start saying, okay, you take these 10 portions over here, because no one gets satiated on a small a bean size. There's a curse already in these days. You got to eat tons and tons of it to finally be satiated. You take these, and I'll take those. That's what it means that there would be chaylik. They would start bartering regarding the pieces of the lechem upon them. So says Rava, obviously you see that there is a din chaluka. There is a swapping that could be done with kachim. So obviously it's Rabbi Huda, who he's the one that we have an opinion already on record, that he says that the chalik you get from a carbon, from a lechem aponim, from a mincha, is considered your money, and therefore you could swap it with someone else. It's yours, you own it. So therefore you see, like Rav, that obviously Rabbi Huda still agrees to his opinion that it is his, and therefore you could be Mekadosh, not like the way Rabbi Yechanan had said. And that Gemara answers, no. Truth is, like Abaya had proved, like Rabbi Yechanan, that Rabbi Huda retracted, and there is no bartering. Now, my chalkim, what does it mean that they would be chaylik, they would split it? It means they would take their portions, which was coming to them. Now, you're right, as you assumed, what does that help? They're not going to be full anyways, why would they do that? You're right, when they didn't have enough from their own, it means they would be chaylik, and they didn't have enough, then chaytfim, then they would go ahead and grab not only their portion, but they would grab actually someone else's portion, because they wouldn't get filled up from their portion itself. As Kediktani Seif, actually, as we learned at the end of that brisa. That brisa says clearly, illustrating this idea where one time it happened, somebody grabbed his own portion, and he wasn't full, he grabbed his friend's portion too. They called him Ben Chamtzin, the person that is Chaymetz, until the day that he dies. So again, says the Gemara, it's not a difficulty on Rabbi Yechanan, on the way Abaya had proved, because he would not talk about swapping chalk. It means they would take their own portion, and moreover, they would, yeah, right, it wouldn't be enough. They would go ahead and grab someone else's portion. Now, Amar Rabbi Bar Avshili says, Mikra, what's a pasuk? Why they call him Ben Chamtzin, which sounds like Chamtzin related to actually Chamtzin, which is the person that extorts, that forces someone to give him his portion, even though he's going to compensate him, but he's forcing. Why did they call him Ben Chamtzin? How do we see that that's actually a reference to someone that's a Chamtzin? So on that, he says, it's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Eloi, Eloi Kai, my God, Paltein Miad Rasha, save me from the hand of a wicked person, Mikaf Ma'avel V'chaymetz, from the palm of one that does iniquity, and he's a Chaymetz, which is, obviously, it's talking about somebody that's forcing him, is taking away stuff from him, where again, we see that the word Chamtzin is related to the word of being a Chamtzin, and that's why this person was called a Ben Chamtzin, because he grabbed away someone else's portion of the lechem upon him. Rabbi Amahacha, he brings a different source for this Chamtzin, is from a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Limdu hativ, shall learn to do good, dirshu mishpat, seek out justice, ashu chamitz, which means to say, support the one who gets stolen from, which is to save him from the one that's extorting from him, which is ashu, is support chamitz, the one that had chametz done to him. So we see that a chamtzin is somebody that steals someone else's thing, and that's why this guy again was called a ben chamtzin. But again, the Gemara said that we could maintain Rabbi Yechanan's contention that Rabbi Huda actually ended up retracting. And again, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, everyone agrees that if someone's mekadesh a woman with a chelik in the carbon, she's in the mekudeshes because he doesn't own that. It's mamon gevaya, not mamon atzmai. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said the next category was meister sheni. Because our Mishnah is discussing being Mekadosh a woman with different types of things, which is debated, is it considered your own money to thereby be Mekadosh a woman, or is it not, like we said from the Halacha of Karbanis, that the Kohen gets his Chelik, where he doesn't own that, it's Meshulchan Gevaya, and therefore it's not. So what's Halacha with Meister Sheni? So it's actually Machlek, because Meister Sheni is, after you take off the first tithe from your produce, and you give that to Levi, there's a second tithe that you have to take up to your Shalim and eat it over there. If you don't want to, then you could deconsecrate it onto money, and then bring that money up to your Shalim, and then use that money to buy food over there. Now, so if a man wants to gives his this woman Meister Sheni to be Mekadeshar, so the first opinion says Bein Shegig Bein Bemezid Loi Kiddush Debre Meir. Meir says whether he did it by mistake, he didn't realize it's Meister Sheni money, or if he did it deliberately, doesn't make a difference. It's not going to create a kedushin. It's not considered his money. That's the opinion of Meir. Rehudaim he says Shegig Loi Kiddush. If he did it by mistake, it's not going to create a kedushin. But mezid kiddush, if he did it deliberately, it's going to be a kedushin, which the Gemara Amud Beis will explain, seemingly this difficulty in Rabbi Huda's opinion. Why would it be a difference if shegig or mezid? Either way, it sounds like that he holds that it is the person's own money, and that's why you do it by mezid, it's going to create a kedushin. Then why by b'shegig is that not going to create a kedushin? But the Gemara first discusses Menon Namili, from where do we know this? Where does Rabbi Meir know that Meister Sheni he considers as mamon gevaya? It's Hashem's produce. Hashem lets you eat it. He lets you take a tenth of your produce and eat in your shalim and thank him there. but it's not owned by the owner itself. Where do we know this? And therefore, you cannot be Mekadosh a woman with that because you don't own that. It doesn't have monetary value. It's just something you're allowed to eat. So on that, Amar V'acha B'rei D'Rava, it says, Mishmei de Gemara, in the name of the Gemara, which is that it was already established in the Gemara. Gemara means gamur, meaning it's learned. In other words, this was already fluent in the mouths of those in the Beis Medrash, in the study hall, this halacha. Where it says in Pasuk in Be'yikra, it says, V'chol Masa Ha'aretz, and all the types of the land, Mizer Ha'aretz, from the seeds of the land, Mipir Eitz, from the fruits of the tree, Lashem, who it's for Hashem, Kodesh Lashem, it's holy to Hashem. Now, this Pasuk is taught Ma'aser. And it says, Lashem, who that it's for Hashem, what is that saying? V'loy L'kadosh Ba'isha, and not to engage a woman. It's saying it's for Hashem, and it's Hashem's, it's not yours. Hashem lets you eat it, and that's how He wants you to do it. But not to be Mekadosh Isha, therefore you see that Maiser is Mama Gevoya, and therefore you cannot be Mekadosh Isha with Maiser. Now, that the Gemara asks, Hare Trumas Maiser, but this Halacha, when Levi gets his Maiser region from the Yisrael, he then has to take off his own Truma from his Maiser and give that to the Kohen. Now, regarding that Trumas Maiser, the Chassid says, the Pasuk in Bemidbar says, the Levim are told, Kain terimu gam atem trumas Hashem. You also, not just the Yisrael who have their own lands, you also have to take a truma from your maisu that you get from the Yisrael, a truma for Hashem. Now, so you see that it also has a designation of Hashem, which in the previous halacha we said regarding maisur sheini, that that's why you cannot be mekadosh isha, and yet utanan, we learned in the Mishnah later on in Chesem and Alf, that says mekadosh betruma mikudesh, as actually the Girsa should be betrumais. If someone engages a woman with trumais, that she is engaged. How can Trumas Maisa, which is a type of Truma, create a Kedushin if the Pasuk calls it Trumas Hashem? And you said before that Maisa Sheni cannot be Mekadosh Isha because it says Lashem. So that the Gemara answers, like Siv Beit Lashem. It doesn't say by Trumas Maisa for Hashem. In other words, by Maisa Sheni where it says Lashem, for Hashem, that teaches it's for Hashem, meaning it's Hashem's, it's His. But when it says by Trumas Maisa, Trumas Hashem, it only means that Hashem commanded you to take off this Trumas Maiser, but not that it is Hashem's. I mean, everything's Hashem's, but Hashem gives it to us, and we own it. So therefore, by Trumas Maiser, you could be Mekadosh Isha, in contrast to Maiser Sheni. But the Gemara continues to ask. But Vare Chala, we have the halacha of Chala. When you make a certain amount of dough, you have to separate a certain portion of the dough and give that to the Kayin. The Chsibba, where it says over there in the Pasuk by Midbar, it says, Titnu Lashem. You should give it Lashem, to Hashem, which is the same terminology we said for Maaser Sheni. And yet, it's Tanan we learned over there in that mission that says, Mekadosh b'trumais mekudashos, if a man engages a woman with trumais. Now, the word trumais includes the halacha of chala, because chala is also a type of a truma. As the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Tezvav, it says, Mereshis arisei seichem, from the first of your doughs, titnu la'Hashem truma. You should give a truma, it means an elevation to Hashem. So chala is a type of a truma, and therefore that would create a kedushin if you mekadosh isha with chala. But why? The pasuk says Lashem, and you said when it says Lashem, like by Maaser Sheni, it means it's only Hashem's, and you can't use it for your own purposes besides eating it. So the Gemara says the like sibe kodesh. You're right. It says Lashem by chala, but it's not just Lashem. It has to say kodesh Lashem. That's why we said that by Maaser Sheni, it says Lashem. Where, yeah, Lashem, and here it also says Lashem, but it doesn't say Kodesh. Now the Gemara asks in the reverse. But Varishvi is where the Loch of Shemitah. This, the Chsivba, where it says regarding the produce of Shemitah, as it says in Pasuk in Yikra, it says Yevilhi, which the halachas there of Yevil and Shemitah are compared. Kodesh Tielachem, it should be holy for you. So there it does say Kodesh. Now it's Nanya, and still we learn in the Mishnah Mekadesh, Beperish Shvi's Mukudashes, if someone engages a woman with produce of Shemitah year, which it calls in the Torah Kodesh, she will be engaged. Now, where do we find this Mishnah? It's actually the Mishnah we had on Nunam Beis, where the Mishnah had said regarding that story with the five women, that the man who engaged them with their own produce, it says, B'shal Shavir Sais, it was from Shemitah produce. Now, the Mishnah said that the Chacham said that Ein Achayis Mekudashes, the sisters are not engaged. But as we were Madaik over there, that the Nachrius, the other unrelated women, were engaged. So you see that you could be Mekadash or a woman with Shemitah produce. But why? You just said that the reason why there's a difference between Maaser Sheni and regarding Chala is because Chala doesn't say Kodesh, whereas by Maaser Sheni it says Kodesh, and that's why you cannot use it for Kedushin. But Shemitah it says Kodesh, and yet you could create a Kedushin. And that the Gemara says, Dolik Sibbe Lashem. Yeah, Chala says Lashem, but it doesn't say Kodesh. Shemitah says Kodesh, but it doesn't say Lashem. It has to be Kodesh Lashem to say that it's only for Hashem, and you can't use it for your own things. But the Gemara asks about Truma, but you have regarding Truma, which is after when a person just finishes all gathering all his produce, the first thing he takes off are Bikurim, and then the next thing right after is Truma. The primary Truma, which is Truma Gedoyla, that's the first 1/50th of the crop that's given to the Kohen. It says in the Pasuk regarding Truma, it's a Pasuk in Yirmiyah, it compares Truma to the Jewish people. It says, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, that the Jewish people are holy to Hashem, Reishis Tevuasai, the first of his produce. So metaphorically, we are like the Truma of Hashem, the Reishis Tevuasai, which is what Truma is. And so we see that it's calling Truma, which is what we are to Hashem, Kodesh Lashem, which is the terminology you said by Maaser Sheni that says you can't use it for anything else. And yet it's not still, we learned in that Mishnah we quoted before, Makadesh b'truma is mukadasha, is someone that gets engaged to a woman with truma, she will be engaged. How is that possible? It says Kodesh Lashem. So I think my answer is no, Ahu b'Yisrael, except that pasuk is not talking about when it says Kodesh Lashem truma, some of the Jewish people, to say that they are called Kodesh Lashem, sanctified Tashem. Now, that the Gemara continues on the Beis, but V'lav Memela Shamim Minah, but don't you automatically infer from there that from the fact that it calls the Jewish people Kodesh Yisrael Lashem Rishis Tivuah, say that we're like Hashem's Truma. Obviously, that's what the analogy is trying to say, that Truma is also Kodesh Lashem, and we're the same thing. So if Truma is Kodesh Lashem, then it should be just like Maaser Sheni, which you said, you cannot use it to be Mekadesh a woman. So the Gemara says, Tirgama Rav and Sabuk made the Rav. So Rav and the elder interpreted the differentiation between Truma and Maaser Sheni. Why is Maaser Sheni the one that's totally Mam Gevah, you cannot be Mekadesh a woman with that? Because Amakra, the Pasuk says by Maaser Lashem Hu, which the word Hu tells us, Hu Babi Yasa Yehe, that it should remain in its original status, which is Lashem. Which is, it's saying it will always be Lashem. In contrast to other things where it's Lashem or it's a Malaya, but when you make a brach, it becomes yours. Regarding all these other things, Truma, Trumas Maaser, all these things, Chala, that there you could go ahead and Mekadesh a woman with that. But by Maaser, where it says who, that means to say will always maintain Lashem, which means to say you cannot take it out of Hashem's domain. He lets you eat it, but you cannot use it to Mekadesh Isha. That's the understanding of Reb Meir's opinion, where he says you can never Mekadesh with Maaser Sheni, in contrast to the opinion of Rabbi Huda. Now, moving on to the next halacha, Ube Hektish, by things which are Hektish, which is Bedik Abayish, things that were someone was Makdish to the Beis HaMikdash, and he wants to use that item of Hektish to Mekadesh Isha, so we have another Machlekes Remain in Behuda. The Mezid Kiddush, if he does it deliberately, then she's going to be engaged. B'Shagil Lo Kiddush, if he didn't realize that what he's, the, let's say the ring, or whatever it is that he's been Mekadesh a woman with, was Hektish, it's not going to create a Kiddush, and that's Devri Meir. Rabbi Hudaimer, he says the opposite. He says, B'Shagi Kiddush, if he does it by mistake, then that will create a Kiddush. Which, although the Gemara doesn't explicitly talk about Rabbi Huda's opinion, the Rishayim explained that the reason why B'Shagig is going to create a Kedushin is because the halacha, primarily of Me'ila, is when someone does something, when they misappropriates by mistake. That's when you have certain halachas of Me'ila. Now, when you do Me'ila, that is removing it from this, that's why you're doing Me'ila, because you're removing it from the state of Hektish to the state of Chulin. And that's why you have the penalties of Me'ila. So it's when you do it by B'shagig, which qualifies for the halach Me'ila, now when you're being Mekadeshar, yeah, you're removing it from Hekdesh, you're creating a Chulin, so it is your money, and that's where it's going to create a Kedusha. But B'mezid like Kiddush. But if you do it deliberately, where when you do it deliberately, actually there is no halacha of Me'ila, regarding the halachas that it says there in the Torah, and therefore it's, even though you're using it, but that's not misappropriating it, because it's still extant here, you're just giving it to the woman, but still really that of Hektish, and therefore actually that will not create a Kedushin. Now, but Reb Yaakov said, and we're going to clarify the two different challenging opinions of which we said regarding Rabbi Huda of Maaser Sheni, and of Reb Meir here regarding Hektish, regarding how to interpret their opinions. And that is, Reb Yaakov said, Shamat minad Reb Yechanan Tarti, says, I heard from Reb Yechanan two halachas, meaning of the two cases in our Mishnah, there were two different opinions that said, B'shogig lo kiddush, that if you do it by mistake, it's not going to create a kedushin. What are those two halachas where we said if it's done by mistake, it's not going to create a kedushin? You have, as we mentioned on Amin Aleph, Shigigas Maaser Rabbi Huda. You have that regarding Maaser Sheni, if you Mekadesh by mistake, you didn't realize Maaser Sheni, so the Rabbi Huda had said that it's not going to create a kedushin. Now, the challenge for that is is that since Rabbi Yehuda holds that Ma'aser Sheni is Mamon Hedyet, it is owned by the owner. That's why he says when you do it b'mezid deliberately, so of course that's going to create a kedushin because it's your money. So then the question is, well, why does he say that if you did it by mistake, it's not going to create a kedushin? Then Rabbi Meir's opinion, we just finished explaining, he holds his Mamon Gevaya. So it's not your money. So whether b'mezid or b'shogeg, it doesn't make a difference. It's not yours. You cannot create a kedushin. But Rabbi Yehuda, who obviously holds from the halacha of b'mezid, that it is your money, and that's when it's created a kedushin, why, when it's done by mistake, is it not going to create a kedushin? That's one halacha, Rabbi Yaakov said, I heard from Rabbi Yechina, which is, again, a case of b'shogeg lekiddush. And additionally, the halacha we just quoted from our Mishnah, shigiges hekdish der meir, regarding when, if you're mekadosh a woman by mistake with that of hekdish, which her meir had said, that's not going to create a kedushin. Now the difficulty is, since Remeir holds that even when you do it deliberately, it's going to create a kedushin, which we said that's a little bit of a chiddush, as we brought actually from the opposite opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who Rabbi Yehuda says no, b'shogeg it's going to be a kedushin because that's the halachas of meila. B'mezid it's not the halachas of meila; it will not create a kedushin because it doesn't become yours. Remeir holds that even by, as he says, by b'mezid it will create a kedushin, where obviously he holds on some level it's still considered meila and it becomes your money. Then the difficulty is, then for sure, why does he differentiate by shogeg that it's not going to create a kedushin? There, for sure, as we see from Yehuda's opinion, it's in the category of me'ila, which removes it from the state of hektish to the state of chulin. So why wouldn't that go ahead and create a kedushin? That's what he says regarding these two challenging halachas, one of Remeir, one of Yehuda, one regarding Ma'aser Sheni, one regarding halachas of hektish. Why did they say that even though b'mezid it will create a kedushin, but b'shogeg lekiddush? So says Rabbi Yaakov that Shneim ain Isha Miskadeshes Ben. In other words, this halacha, these two halachas I heard from Rabbi Yechanan regarding these two cases of the Mishnah regarding Shogeg, which the Tanav of Mishnah taught that by both of them a woman will not become engaged through that. So Chada says Rabbi Yaakov regarding one of these explanations, one of these halachas I heard from Rabbi Yechanan, that the reason is Lefisha ain Isha Reitza, because the woman wouldn't want to had she known that this is, again, either Ma'aser Sheni or Hektish, she would not have accepted this to be a Kedushin, meaning if it's done b'mezid and they know about it, so obviously she's okay with it. But we're talking about when she didn't know, then she wouldn't be agreeable, and hence the reason why it's not going to be Kedushin is because it's what's called Kedushi Tois. It's a Kedushin in error. Oh, that? Ma'aser Sheni? Hektish, I would never have wanted it. V'chada, and the other halacha was Lefisha Ein Shneim Reitzin, actually because they both don't want. Now, what's the difference if both are only the woman? Either way, it's still Kedushi Toys. So Rashi explains the halachic relevance would be in regards to the one case that Rabbi Yechanan says the reason being is because the woman doesn't want. So if we would actually check her and inspect and she would say, oh, no, I do want to, and I'm not particular, I don't care that this is A, either Hektish or B, Ma'aser Sheni, then we wouldn't have to check him because that would be the halacha that we would assume that he is okay with it. So it would make a difference if it's the case of where they both don't want, then we would have to make sure he's also okay with it. Or it's the one that it's only that she doesn't want. So says Rabbi Yaakov, I heard from Rabbi Yechanan regarding these two cases that one is because she doesn't want, and one is because they both don't want. But he says, I don't know which one of them is the one that he said is because she doesn't want, and which one is the one that they both don't want. That's Rabbi Yaakov said. Amir Bimir said, let's look, let's analyze, let's figure it out on our own. Says Ma'aser, regarding the case of Ma'aser Sheni, we could say, Ihi lo nechila, she's not okay with it. Meaning, of course, if she accepts it and it's done b'mezid deliberately, they know about it. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, of course, that will create a kedushin because he holds his mom and hedget. But when they don't know about it, they didn't realize it's Ma'aser Sheni money. So it's the case of b'shogeg. There it's not, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not going to create a kedushin. Says Rabbi Yirmiyah, that would sound like she wouldn't be okay with it. Why? Because that's Ma'aser Sheni. That means I have to make the trip up to Yerushalayim to have to eat these stuff. I have to go up. It's a big exertion. So, yeah, she wouldn't be okay with that. I don't want to get engaged with this because I can't use it over here. I would have to go up to Yerushalayim. Ihu nichale, but he would be okay with it. Dinikni itza memela, that automatically, actually he gains. Because by the fact that he would have to schlep up to Yerushalayim to take up the Ma'aser Sheni, now he actually just, he gives it to her, he creates a kedusha with it. Now he gets away very easily without having to exert himself. So he would be okay with it. So seemingly that would be the case of she doesn't want him. Again, therefore, if we would check her and she's okay with it, even though he doesn't know about it, we wouldn't have to check him. Because that would be the one we would assume he would be okay with it. That's the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda. Ela Hektish, but regarding the case of Hektish, when they don't realize that it's Hektish, Tarvayu loy nichalahu. We could assume that that's the halacha that Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that they both wouldn't be okay with it. The naschal hekdesh al yadayu, that they should be mechal hekdesh, which is an iser, to do through the two of them. Where the pasuk calls it moyali moal, you're considered a thief from Shemayim. And therefore, if it's creating a kedushin, the chilul, the deconsecration, is happening through both of them. Because that's what removes it from the state of hekdesh. When it goes from hekdesh and he gives that tahar, thus creating me'ilah, therefore it's going to be kedushi toyes. That's the reason of Remeir's halacha, where although he holds, yes, if you do it even b'mezid, it's going to be kedushin. But b'shagig, if they don't know about it, we would assume that they wouldn't be okay with it. Who wouldn't be okay with it? It would be both of them. So says Rabbi Yirmiyah, seemingly that's how it would be. You're not sure, but seemingly the Maisa would be the one that she's not okay with, and he would be. And the Hekdesh case of Reb Meir, where he says it's not going to be a Kedushin, because Kedushi Tois, actually would be an error on both their parts. Now, however, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yaakov, who he said that I don't know, obviously he didn't hold it was so clear, Amar, he would tell you, what? Ibcha Mistabra. That is, you could also say the exact opposite. In other words, Mila Iklamema, don't you think we could say the exact opposite of what you just said? That actually the Meiser is the one that actually, if they both knew, they both would not want it? Whereas by the Hekdesh, we could say it's only that it's the woman that wouldn't want it, as he explains. And therefore, it's not indicative. Meiser, you could say regarding Meiser, A, first of all, Ihilai Nichla, she wouldn't be okay with it, because you would have to exert yourself. Now, moreover, we could also say Ihilai Nichla. No, he also wouldn't be okay with it. Mishamay Nasa the Orcha, because of the mishaps that could happen on her journey from wherever they live up to Yerushalayim. Now, because obviously the husband would have a liability for whatever would happen to this Maiser Shein that he's giving to her until she makes up to Yerushalayim. Why? Because the Maiser Sheini, which he's trying to use to create a Kedushin, has to be worth a Shava Pruta. Now, until it gets to Yerushalayim, it's not even worth a Shava Pruta. Because she can't use it, has no utility whatsoever out of Yerushalayim, because you have to eat in Yerushalayim. Moreover, Rashi actually says, even if she would sell it, the money actually gets the Kedusha, and then you have to take the money up to Yerushalayim. So there's no value whatsoever out of Yerushalayim. Now the problem is, Kedushin has to be worth a Shava Pruta. Now therefore, had the man known beforehand that it's Maaser Sheini, which means to say that he would have to have responsibility up until, because if it gets ruined before she gets to Yerushalayim, it never created Kedushin because he never gave her anything. And he would actually have preferred not to give her that. And the reason being is because although he would have to take it to Yerushalayim, but it's more likely that a mishap could happen with the woman than the man, he would be more careful and he would be more able to protect it going through Yerushalayim. Therefore, he would not be okay with having given her Maaser Sheini, because then if something happens on the way, what a waste. She ended up losing it, and it didn't even create a Kedushin. Or another approach Rashi says is, even if you would say that the man wouldn't have responsibility, and you're right, it would be considered a Kedushin, even if something happens to her on the way, because it's something that, like he did give her something, but still, he still wouldn't want to give it to her, because something could potentially happen on the road up to Yerushalayim, and then she's going to lose it, and she's going to be depressed, and she's going to tell him, you gave me the Kedushin. Remember when we got engaged? Even all the way in the beginning when we started getting married, you gave me nothing. I couldn't even use it because it got ruined before I got to Yerushalayim. And if he doesn't want to hear this from his wife telling him that the Kedushin was something I had no pleasure from it, and therefore he wouldn't be okay with the Maaser Sheini either. So therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov, that could be the one that Rabbi Yochanan said that they're both not agreeable. But actually, I could tell you, Ela Hekdesh, in contrast to the case of Hekdesh, that Bishlam Ihi Le'Nichla, I could tell you that she's not okay with it. The Naskel Hekdesh Al Yada, that the Chilul, the deconsecration of being Mol, of taking it out from Hekdesh to Chulin, should be happening through her, because what did she gain? Because if she's not going to take it, because why should I be a player in this Me'ila? He'll have to give her something else. He wants to engage her. He'll have to give her something that's permitted, that's his own thing. But you think he wouldn't be okay with it? Because he does gain from it. In other words, even though he has to pay back to Hekdesh, yes, he committed Me'ila, he has to pay them back, but he gains now, because let's say he didn't have any money, and he really wants to get engaged to this woman. Let's say another guy who's courting her, and he wants to get engaged to her, and he has no money, he'll use Hekdesh because, okay, she's engaged to me. Fine, I'll have to pay back Hekdesh. And therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov, there's no proof. That's why he still didn't know. He wasn't clear about which was the one that Rabbi Yochanan had said, that it's only that she's not okay with it, and which is the one that they're both not okay with it. But either way, what we are clarifying to understand these two challenging halachas of Rabbi Yehuda by Meister Sheni and Rabbi Meir regarding Hektish, that although they both agree that it's considered your own mammon, and that's why when you do it deliberately, you could create a kedushin, but b'shegig, we could assume that the person wouldn't have been okay with it, either one of them or both of them. That is because either I don't want the chil to be happening through me, but again, if it was done deliberately with their intention, of course it's going to create a kedushin. And in contrast to, and similarly by the case of Meister Sheni, where also that she wouldn't be okay with it because I have to go ahead and take it up to Yerushalayim, I wouldn't be agreeable. Yeah, if she knows about it and she accepts, of course, it's Rabbi Yehuda Old, it's his own money, it's Mamon Hedyid, in contrast to Reb Meir, and that's why it would be a kedushin, but not by Beshegig, because we could assume that she and maybe even he wouldn't be okay with that. Now, the Gemara asks a question regarding this halacha from the Mishnah that we just quoted, Bayimnei Rav Mirav Chizda. Regarding an isha, a woman, which we just explained that in miskadeshes, that according to a mayor, when, if by mistake, no one knew that this is hektish, he gives her something, and he's mekadesh, says, harayit mekadeshes li betabazu, and it turns out that this ring was hektish, but no one knew about it. So, Reb Meir had said that she's not going to be engaged because it's kedushei tayis. It's an error, because she for sure she wouldn't be okay with creating chilfa hektish, because what does she gain? She's saying, I would have not taken it, and I would have gotten engaged with something that's permitted. So, okay, it doesn't create a kedushin. But the Gemara's question is, mahos mao sheyetzu l'chulun. But what's the halacha? The act of attempting to create a kedushin with this, which halachically we say at the end when we find out about it, it's not a valid kedushin. But can someone utilize that money now? In other words, do we say that the owner, the man, the husband, the chassan, when he used it to create a kedushin, he already committed me'ila at that time by doing this ma'isa kedushin. Now, there was no chalais kedushin, there was no effect. Halachically, kedushin didn't take effect, but did that already create a me'ila, and hence now it could be utilized? Or do we say it's still considered hektish, and it was never removed to chulun yet? So Amalei, so Rav Chizda responded to Rabbi, he says, I don't understand. Isha im miskadeshes, the woman's not engaged. Mo'is heich yatz l'chulun. How can you say that the money was removed from hektish to chulun? How was it removed? If you never did anything, you never affected anything in the monies, why would you say that it's chulun and therefore it's still kaidish? And if someone would use it now, they would be committing me'ila. Now, continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Bo'yimenei Rav Chiya bar Avin mirav Chizda. So he took it one step further. He says, b'mechermai. What's halacha regarding a sale? In other words, if someone takes an object and he wants to buy it and he pays the seller with money of hektish. So the question is, according to this opinion of Reb Meir that we just mentioned regarding Shogeg, where we said regarding kedushin, it's not going to be a kedushin. Question is, what would the halacha be regarding a sale? Do we say that he acquired the sale because they would be agreeable, even though they didn't know about it, but after the fact they would be agreeable that the chil should happen through them? Or do we say that there was no kinyan over here, he didn't acquire it with the money of hektish that he gave him, and the reason being is because it's a toss. A person would not be okay with that. So Amalei said them, af b'mecher lekana. Same thing applies to a sale, and actually it's more than just because by kedushin. It's, as Rashi explains, money never goes out to chulin. And that is, Reb Meir does not hold that you could create a chil of hektish, b'shegig, only when it's actually consumed, which is when you eat the hektish. But when you're what's called maitzi mois hektish, when you just spend the money of hektish, there's not going to be me'ila. And the reason being is because wherever the money is, it's hektish. It's Hashem's. And that is where, that's the halacha that we're learning from Reb Meir, which is, although when you do it deliberately, so that's an act of kedushin, that you can be mekadesh a woman because that's something that you're utilizing. But when it's actually done b'shoigig, then Reb Meir holds that then that's actually not, meaning the people are not aware of it, they're not doing it deliberately, then that's, well, when you consume it, so obviously you committed me'ilik, it's not here anymore. But when you didn't want it, you didn't know of it, then we say that you didn't commit me'ila unless you're actually eating it. But if you're spending it, it's not just by kedushin where we explain that by kedushin they wouldn't be okay with it. By mecher neither would they be okay with it. In other words, it would not create a kinyan unless it's actually consumed, then you committed me'ila. But if not, there's no me'ila, and therefore in that case of the sale, it wouldn't be a sale. There was no, the money was never given to the person. It wasn't the purchases, the consumer's own money. It was Hashem's money, and therefore, it's not a sale. Now, Eisvei, however, on this halacha, Rav Chizda, The Gemara asks from a Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah. There, the Mishnah is talking about a gizbar, is the treasurer of the Hekdesh money. He went and he deposited, he thought, his own money, actually turns out it was Hekdesh money, by a Shulchani. A Shulchani is a money changer. Now, the Mishnah there says that if when he gave it to the money changer for him to hold on to his own money, if they were bundled together, so he has no rights to use it. Now, therefore, if he actually ends up using the money changer, so the gizbar has not committed me'ila, rather the shulchani, the money changer, has committed me'ila because he had no rights. And you went and you spent the hektish money, it's your own liability. Now, but if he gave him the money open, not bundled, he just gave him some coins, which the halacha is that the money changer is allowed to use those monies. And because he knows that a money changer needs money, and if he's giving it to him open, he's obviously, the assumption is that he's allowing him to use it as long as he gives him back the same money at a later point in time. Now, therefore, if the money changer ends up using it, thus committing me'ila with the money of Hekdesh, the gizbar has committed me'ila because he set him up. He allowed, almost like a shliach, he allowed the shulchani to go ahead and use it. And again, as we explained, because he knew that the shulchani always needs money and therefore he's going to spend it. And therefore he's like allowing it to him and therefore it's his liability. Now, that's regarding a shulchani. But let's say the gizbar gives it to a balabais, a regular homeowner. So in either way, no matter if it gives him bundled up or even out in the open, he's not allowed to use it because that's not the intention when he gives it to him to hold on to it, because a regular homeowner doesn't constantly need money as a money changer. And therefore, if he actually does end up using it, even if it was open money, the balabais, the homeowner who's watching it, has committed the me'ila and not the gizbar that gave him the deposit, because no one gave you the rights to use it. I didn't tell you to use it. And although I didn't tell you it's hektish, you had no rights. And therefore, if you use it, the balabais, you have committed me'ila. So that's regarding the halacha of a shulchani on the one hand and a balabais on the other hand. But chenvini, the Mishnah tells us, what's the halacha regarding a storekeeper? So that we actually have a machlekes. The first opinion says, kabalabais divrei meir. Meir says that a store owner has the same halachic status as a homeowner, meaning to say, because he doesn't constantly need money, and therefore we assume that he's like the homeowner. The reason being is because all the produce that he gets and all the things that he sells in the store, he gets on credit. And the little money that he gets from what he sells, he has enough to be able to use what he needs. And therefore, it's not assumed that the money is being given to him, even if it's in the open, that he can use it. And therefore, if he does use it, he's going to have the halacha like a balabayis, and he has committed to me'ila. Rabbi Huda, he disagrees. He says, no, chen v'nika shulchani. A store owner is like a money changer, where a store owner needs to have money, liquid cash also. And therefore, if the guy's giving it to him to hold on to him out in the open, not bundled, it's assumed that he is going to use it. And therefore, if he didn't tell him that it's hektish, then actually the gizbar has committed me'ila and not the chemini. That's their machlekes. But says the Gemara, ad kan lo kemif ligi. But okay, what we find is that they're disputing is el de mar sov echem v'nika shulchani. That one opinion holds that the store owner is like a money changer. Mar sov echem v'nika balabais. And the other opinion says, no, that he's like a balabais. Fine. Alva the kuli amid. But one thing is that everyone agrees, both Rmei and Rabbi Huda, that im haitzi, if the money, no matter who it is that did it, but if the money was spent, again, the money is still there in the world somewhere, but it was taken from one person, the representative, let's say, of the gizbar, which is this chenveni, that mo'al, someone has committed me'ila. We're not sure. Is it the gizbar, if you hold these like the shulchani, or the store owner, if you consider him like a balabais, but someone has committed me'ila. Now, obviously, that's the Gemara's question, that by a mecher, a sale, because we're talking about a store owner, there's a sale here. He's giving money to someone for something else. That according to your mayor, when you use mois hektish for a sale, that it is going to be a kinyan, it is going to be a valid sale. Because if not, then how was the money ever taken out to chulin? Because we're saying that someone committed me'ila, somebody, either the gizbar or the chenveni. So if you're saying that someone committed me'ila, then obviously it's because the money was taken out from the domain of Hekdesh and the domain of Chulin. Now, but you just said before that in the opinion of Remeir, that in the opinion of that we quoted from the Remeir's halacha, that he holds that no, that when it comes to Bishagig, which is the case that we're talking about, because no one knew over here, he didn't realize that the gizbar didn't tell him that it's Mois Hekdesh, that there is going to be Me'ila. So that contradicts what Rav Chisda said. I think my answer is no. Remeir ledvarv de Bihuda kama. Remeir, when he was quoting this opinion in that Mishnah in Masechtas Me'ila, was actually going according to the opinion of Rabbi Huda. In other words, he was saying as follows. Remeir said to Rabbi Huda, Lididi, according to me, im haitzi nami lo'imal. Even if the money is spent, it's not going to be considered Me'ila. In other words, not the Gizbar, and not the Chenveni. And the reason being is because, yeah, as we explained before, Remeir holds that when it's done b'shegig, there is no me'ila by mois of Hektish. It's only when you eat stuff that then it's not here anymore, then you committed me'ila. So therefore, says Remeir, according to me, there wouldn't be any me'ila over here. But El Didach, what Remeir was saying when he was quoting his opinion over there, he was saying, but according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, that you hold that there is me'ila by money, which is actually Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in our Mishnah. Which again, as we explained, Rabbi Yehuda holds that b'shogeg, it is going to create a kedushin. Which again, it's when the man's giving the woman something, money or a ring, which is not consumption, and yet he says it is going to create a kedushin. It's only by b'mezid, which is not considered me'ila, that he considers is not going to create a kedushin. So according to you, Remeir was saying that you hold that it is considered me'ila, even with just spending money, even though it's still there in the world somewhere. But ideally, miya the chenveni kabbalah bais. What Remeir was saying was, at least agree to me, however, that even though there is a committal of me'il over here, but at least consider the store owner like a homeowner, and to say that he committed the me'ila and not the gizbar, because he had no rights to use it, because we assume that a chenveni is like a balabais who doesn't need so much money, and therefore, even though he didn't give it to him bundled up, it should be his fault because he had no rights to use it. That is va'amalei. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says to Remeir, that loy. No, I don't agree with you even on that component. Rather, kishulchani. I consider the chenveni like a money changer, and that he does need money. And therefore, the one who committed the me'ila is the gizbar, the treasurer who gave it to him as a deposit, because he knows that a store owner needs to go ahead and use money for commerce, whatever he's changing and buying and selling. And therefore, that's their machlekes there in the Mishnah Masechet Me'ila, but it doesn't refute Rav Chisda's halacha, where again, the halacha of Remeir in our Mishnah is not just for kedushin, it's for anything like that where you have money and of hektish, and you're giving it to someone else. If it's done b'shoigig, the parties are unaware of it, then they're not agreeable. That does not commit me'ila. Yeah, if it's done b'mezid, then Remeir says that would create a condition. That would be a committal of me'ila. It would be a valid kinyan, whether it be regarding a mecher or regarding a condition. But when it's done b'shoigig, then that's something where, as Rav Chisda had said, both regarding kedushin and regarding mecher, it's not going to be a kinyan at all. Nothing really happened over here. There was no committal of me'ila. It's still the money wherever it is. It switched hands, but it's still in the domain of hektish, and therefore it's not a mecher, it's not a kedushin, and there is no me'ila. In contrast to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that by mois, as he says in the halacha of Mishnah, that it is going to be a kedushin when you do it b'shoigig, because that is a committal of me'ila, and therefore when you're giving the woman something of kedushin, you are giving her your own money, it already committed me'ila, and therefore it's going to be a valid kinyan. That's their machlekes here in this Mishnah, regarding where they're going in Rebbe's opinion, that it is a kinyan. Question is, so whose me'ila is it? Meir said that even if you're going to say it is me'ila, let it be like a balabayas, and he said no, he's going to be like a shulchanim.